Amen. I love to praise his name. And we come here for no other reason but to lift him up and to praise his holy and divine name, because God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. And I remember Jesus saying, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. As you can tell, I'm kind of working with a little head cold here. Sister Miguel is in San Francisco with our daughter, so let's be praying for her traveling grace. Nevertheless, it's good to be here with you. I had intended to take a little Alka-Seltzer Plus right before I left it at home. But one of the brothers gave me something, and it started working immediately. So I'm feeling pretty good up here. I don't know what it was. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Turn your Bibles, if you please, to Psalms 103. And we'll be working with verses 1 through 5. This is sermon number 5 in a series of lessons that I developed entitled The Cry of the Human Heart. This lesson will be part 1 of 2 lessons entitled Bless the Lord. So if you want to praise his holy name, if you want to bless the Lord, you're going to hear about it this morning. Psalms 103, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The subject for this morning will be entitled, Bless the Lord. Part 1, we'll do part 2 next week or at another time. But 2 points, A, B, and C in the lesson will be yours. Number 1, I want to talk about how our praise must be cultivated. And number 2, I ask the question, why must it be cultivated? Because we are so ungrateful. The A factor for your outline is that we are ungrateful because of our pride. We are ungrateful, B, because of our continual provision. And we are ungrateful, C, because of our prosperity. God has been so good to us. But many times we forget that it's a thank you, Lord. An amazing and unusual thing happened at a critical point in King Jehoshaphat's life in the Old Testament. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, about verse 12 or 10 through 12. A great multitude of Ammonites and Amorites and Moabites, perennial enemies of Israel, came against Jehoshaphat and his small Judean army. Jehoshaphat was greatly alarmed, and the Bible says that he cried out, O our God, will you not judge them, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And the answer he received was amazing. Listen to what he was instructed to do and carry it out. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 through 22, the Bible says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to do what? To sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And then it says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Now, who would have ever thought that praise was the way to a military victory? If anything, this unusual episode that's recorded in 2 Chronicles 20 ought to impress on us the power of praise in our lives, church. Like Jehoshaphat, when we are at wit's end, we can praise the Lord and find victory over that which oppresses us. If praise for the Lord can bring about the demolishing of multitudes of enemies coming against Judah, just think what praise can do when we are down and things aren't going right in our life. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, you got to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. When praises go up, I tell you, blessings come down. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. What could it mean for our own lives to keep our eyes stayed on Jesus? Praising the Lord is the theme for this morning. Our text is Psalm 103, a psalm that's a pure praise. This psalm doesn't ask God for one thing. There is not one petition here. No request, no intercession, just the heart of David caught up in rapturous praise of his Lord. That's Psalms 103. Let's read that again. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verses 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities. Isn't that something? Who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The very first thing this psalm teaches us is that praise must be cultivated. Praise doesn't just happen, church. It's not natural to us. Undoubtedly, some of us have never considered just going to our prayer closet and just having a good old praise hour with the Lord. I tell you, I can remember it just like it was yesterday. I sat in a hotel room and I read the book of Psalms, and then I wrote out what I read, and I wrote a letter to God, and I was able to read it out loud, and I was able to sing loud without folk looking at me like, you ain't on note, you ain't. I was able to just praise God, church. Just me and my God. And you don't realize what that'll really do for your soul and your relationship with God. If you want to hear from God, learn how to thank the Lord. Learn how to bless the Lord. And I'll be where you want me after a while. You see, the reason you have given sometimes for not praising him is that you don't care for that sort of stuff. You don't enjoy that kind of worship. I understand that. None of us praise the Lord naturally. We have to cultivate the habit of praise. Notice how David begins this psalm. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Here David is having an inner dialogue with himself. And he has to command his soul to give praise to the Lord. It's not a natural thing. You got to learn how to talk to yourself. Command your soul, your total being, what to do. I don't know where David is when he composed this psalm. Maybe he was already king over Israel. Or perhaps he was still a simple shepherd on the Judean hillside, watching over his family sheep. In either case, David stops to review his life and remind himself that he has much to give God thanks for. Everybody here ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Woke you up this morning, started you on your way, gave you a little something to eat, could have just been toast and oatmeal, just don't matter. You was able to eat, praise God. You was able to dress yourself and be in your right mind. That's a thank you, Lord. You ought to take time every now and then out of your busy schedule very often to stop. I'm just asking you, do you take time out of your busy schedule to stop and ponder what you have to praise the Lord Jesus for? You might be with somebody that's just putting up with you. You ain't all that you think you is, but you got somebody that love you just like you are. That's a thank you, Lord. Amen. Because some of us hard to love. Some of us hard to get along with. Some of us can be a piece of work and a handful. But you got somebody that's willing and ready to stay by your side because they have decided that you worth suffering for. But you let them, you keep on. You keep on and they be done left you. And you don't, grandma, you say you don't know how much you miss your water until the well run dry. You know, if someone were to ask you, how blessed are you? Really? How blessed are you really? Would it be difficult for you to enumerate your blessings? Would you have to pause for a while even to even become conscious of what God has been doing for you? You know, we used to sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. You've sung that song all your life, but have you ever put legs on your words? Have you ever taken time to just identify your blessings? I think David not only took time, but David made some time. And here in the first verse of this psalm, and in the closing verse of this psalm, David instructs his soul to make the time to give praise to his Lord. Now, I don't know what it means. I know what it means for the Lord to bless me. But what does it mean for me to bless the Lord? Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's really a novel idea. What does it mean for me to bless the Lord? Well, it simply means for me to exalt him. It means for me to hold him up before others as the source of that which is good in my life. In the truest sense, to bless God or to praise God is simply to verbally recognize his goodness. Just suppose I see a lady in the department store with her child, and I run up and I grab her hand and I say, "Oh, lady, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you." She'll look at me and say, "Something wrong with you. You know, yeah, you know, it ain't, your elevator ain't going all the way up to the top. You know, something is wrong here." But if I were to say, "Excuse me, lady, are you the mother of this child?" And she says, "Yes." Then I say, "What a lovely child. Your daughter has some of the nicest manners I've ever seen in a child. You've really done a good job of raising her." And what have I just done? I have praised that woman, and I never ever used the word praise. How did I do it? I spoke about specific qualities in the life of her child. You praise God in the very same way. When David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," he doesn't mean for his soul to go around shouting, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." He means for his soul to give credit to God for the good he has done in David's life. Look, for example, at Psalms 105 in verse 1 and also verse 2. The Bible says in Psalms 105, beginning with verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Verse 2 says, "Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works." You see, implied in giving praise is giving thanks. God, you did it, and I just want to thank you for doing it, Lord. You know, if you spend the time to recite the accomplishments that God has done in your life and include in there thanksgiving, you are building up in your mind a confidence in God that will be good for the here and now, for the present. If you give God
specific credit for what he has done for you. You see, that's so important, church. You got to give God credit. Then when you do that, you will believe that he will help you right now, today. What does the song say? Oh God, I help in ages past. And on the basis of that, I hope for years to come. I know what you've done for me in the past, and I'm depending on you in the future. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. True praise can never be a secret. In fact, somebody said, if I talk to God about the good he has blessed me with, that's thanksgiving. But when I tell somebody else what God has done for me, then it becomes praise. God is lifted up in the eyes of somebody else. Y'all see what I'm saying? Praise then, it could be said as being so occupied with the Lord Jesus that during those particular moments that you are with him, you are really out of the picture. Boy, you got to experience that. That's as close as I came to what Paul was talking about, being caught up in the third heaven. I tell you, just get along with Jesus and have a little talking with Jesus will make everything all right. Praise is like that. You're with Jesus and you are out of the picture. Your needs are out of the picture for that moment. Your wants are out of the picture. Your problems are out of the picture. Your circumstances are out of the picture. Your ambitions are out of the picture. All of those things are out of the picture. And you are just walking and talking with the Lord. Jesus is occupying your mind. And you are with the Lord, who he is. And it's about who he is and about what he has done for you. Listen to what David said. And another one of his psalms, he said in Psalms 145, verses 1 through 3, David said, I will exalt you, my God and my King. I will praise your name forever and ever. He said, every day I will praise you and I will lift up your name forever and ever. He said, great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. His greatness, no one can fathom. You can't even begin to understand it. And church, I sense that David feared that the throne life, stay with me now. I sense that he feared that the throne life, that narcotic of prosperity and ease, will dull his sense of the presence of God. See, God might need to take that Cadillac away from somebody. God may need to break that Benz down. God may need to just foreclose on that house in order to get some folk attention. Because God has been so good to us. That narcotic of ease. I'm a drink, eat, and be merry. You're going to end up drunk, fat, and lazy. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. I tell you, it can dull your sense of the presence of God. And so David determines that he will cultivate the habit of praise. Daily he will remember the blessings of God and exalt his name before others. David knew that it was so easy to forget to praise the Lord that he had to make himself do it. How often do you walk through the house just singing? I can just hear Sister McGill just singing like a bird. And I walk around singing too. She may go another room, but I just keep on singing. Praise God. Because you got to praise God for yourself. You hear what I'm saying? Because God done been good to me just like he been good to her. Sometimes I think God blessing me like I'm his only child. God's been so good to me. And that's a thank you, Lord. And I had to learn how to cultivate that. I had to learn because I used to see grandmama sometimes. You know, you used to think something's wrong. What's wrong with her? You know, she just walk around the house. You know, sometimes we'll have our unscrupulous friends over doing things and playing that loud music. Grandma would get the biggest black back Bible she can find and just start praising the Lord, lifting up Jesus. Pretty soon they say, man, we got to go. Yeah, praise will run a whole lot of devils away from you. Grandma certainly knew how to do it. And we got to cultivate our soul and teach ourselves how to really, really praise the Lord. And so David determined that he was going to cultivate that habit of praise. Daily he would remember the blessings of God and exalt his name before others. David knew it could be easy to forget. But he said in Psalms 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now notice verse 2. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits or none of his benefits, some translations may read. Now, when you look at Psalms 103, verse 2, what I want you to do, I want you to take a pen and make a note right here, if not just a mental note. The Hebrew text literally reads, forget not all his benefits. You see, there is a difference between forget none, which we have in our translation sometimes. It's a difference in forget none and do not forget all. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Because we are human. We are going to forget some of his benefits, some of God's good deeds that has been done on our behalf. Aren't we? We're going to do that. So literally, the original language is a little more realistic. It says, don't forget all his benefits instead of don't forget none of his benefits. Now, it is not very good commentary on human nature to suggest that we might go through life and forget all God's blessings to us. But we can. And we do. And do you know what we call a person who forgets good things done to him or for him by someone else? What is the word the Bible uses to describe that kind of person? It's one little word. It's the word ungrateful. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy what some of the characteristics of people during these last days will be. He mentioned 19 of them. Listen to just the first few. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 19, he says, but mark this, remember this, Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boastful. They'll be proud. They'll be abusive. They'll be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. Ungrateful. It is the mark of an age that has forgotten God. It is an attitude that ought to never to be true of Christians, but it is so easy to become occupied with the gift that we forget the giver. And Psalms 103 jars us out of that ungrateful preoccupation with the blessings and calls us back to give praise to the one who gave us every good thing that we enjoy in life. Number two, by the way, why are we so ungrateful at times? If it is important to be grateful, why are we ungrateful and unthankful in general? And I don't mean just towards God. Why are we that way towards other people? I believe that there are three basic reasons. Number one, or the A factor on your outline, is because of our pride. You see, pride kills thanksgiving. Never forget that. A proud man never thinks he gets as much as he thinks he deserves. So he is naturally unthankful. He thinks he deserves more, so he's not thankful for what he has, because he feels like you done shortchanged him. I'm reminded of the prayer that Charlie Anderson, the father in the musical Shenandoah, praised. Y'all too young to remember Shenandoah probably. But he prayed, Lord, we cleared the land. Lord, we done pull up the stumps. Lord, we done planted the seeds. Lord, we done harvest the crop. Wouldn't it be a thing out there? It wouldn't be a thing out there if we hadn't done it all ourselves. Thank you just the same. Amen. Then y'all see how he just cut God out of that prayer? We did this. We built that. We purchased this. A self-sufficient pride keeps us from being grateful. And the B factor on your outline is we are ungrateful because of God's continual provision. How is that a factor? Am I becoming unthankful? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, but love your enemies, do good to them, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Y'all hear what I said? God is kind even to the ungrateful and the wicked. Who you think you are? Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, that's the grace of our God. But God's ongoing blessings that keep coming, even when we are not grateful, dulls our spirit against ever giving thanks. That's a shame. I say that's a shame, church. Because in Romans, Paul tells us that God's continued goodness is intended to wake us up and bring us to repentance. God woke you up this morning so you could see him. God allowed you to be in your right mind this morning so you can see him. And we keep on looking at what we can see. But God done bless you and stop some things you couldn't see. You didn't have no accident on your way here, because God wanted you to see him. Your heart didn't stop pumping, because God wanted you to see him. You see what I'm saying? Your car didn't break down, because God wanted you to see him. And church, isn't it true that we are quick to turn around and give thanks to someone who does something good for us occasionally. But we are prone to forget the person who does something for us continuously. You know, as kids, folks just take it for granted. I live here. The bill's getting paid. Food gonna be on the table. The gas gonna be on. The lights gonna be on. When school start, I'm getting some new clothes. I'm getting, the folk take that for granted. And there's even some grown folk that'll take that for granted. You see, but you got to be thankful that somebody is getting up going to work every day. Somebody is making hay in the heat of the day. Somebody is paying the bills. Somebody's working their fingers to the bone to make sure they'll have a happy home. And that ought to be a thank you, Lord. I tell you, for example, when was the last time, brethren, that you thank your wife for cooking dinner for you? I ain't heard nothing. When, I mean, you just take it for granted, you know? I get kind of jarred every now and then because now the dinner is there, but I got a wake-up call. I say, supper ready? That'll be ready in 5 minutes. Okay, supper ready. I go in. Sister McGill sitting at the table. I'm like, where the plate? The stuff in the pot. You know, just get it and fix you a plate, you know. And so now I'm beginning to see. Yeah. And you know, but I'm going to tell you something. I can say, honey, that show smell good. Thank you. That look good. That food on the plate. And it's on the table, you know. And that's a thank you, Lord. Yeah, you don't know, thinking folk can get you a whole lot. And when you start seeing the blessings drying up, just look at yourself and say, what ain't I doing? Praise God. You see, when last time you thank your wife for doing the laundry? You know, we will thank God for getting us through a serious surgery or rescuing us from what was potentially a dangerous accident, yet we'll forget to thank God for the food we eat day after day and the health that we enjoy and the good job that we have. Why is that? Because God's continual provision tends to dull our sense of gratitude rather than deepen it. We come to think, you know, it's just like the sun come up every day and the moon gonna shine. You know, we don't thank God for that. We just take it for granted that it's gonna always be that way. But one of these days, hold me up, Holy Ghost. The last but not least, the C fact on your outline, number three, we are ungrateful because of our prosperity. You see that all throughout the scripture. Prosperity, while never wrong in itself, it is, after all, a gift from God. But prosperity is an ever-present danger in Florissant County. It can dull us and keep us from being grateful people. Moses was aware of this tendency. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, Moses warned the Israelites just before they went into the land of Canaan. He said to them, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build. He gonna give you houses filled with all kind of good things that you did not provide. He's gonna give you wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Moses realized that his people could so easily forget that God had done it all. Am I right about it? You know, we get a promotion on our job, let's say, and it's so easy to think that somehow, because we were extra clever, or because we did an extra good deed, a good job on some project, that's why we got that promotion. And we forget the giver. We're occupied with the gift until we forget the giver. C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape Letters, picks up this thought when he says, the long, dull, monotonous years of middle age, prosperity, are excellent campaigning weather for the devil. Just because you in good health, you can be in good health, you can have a good job, you can be quite prosperous and successful. But I stopped on my way to heaven to tell you that's good campaigning weather for the devil. You know, we can look back on our lives during the past decade, and in spite of all of our struggles, we have really enjoyed a prosperity that few other nations in the world have rarely even begun to approach. The good hand of God has been on us as never before, church. I don't care who the president is or has been. David would encourage us, as Moses would also, not to forget all of God's benefits while being lulled to sleep in these good times of prosperity. And so I say, praise the Lord. Praise must be cultivated. If you're not doing it on a daily basis, you need to get by yourself with Jesus, you and him alone, and learn how to just say, thank you, Lord. You need to be with friends that don't know you real well, and without any warning, just say, thank you, Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? I ain't saying do it for shock value. But I'm saying, if you want to influence other people's lives, every now and then, you got to let them know that you remember from which your blessings come. We will not naturally stop to exalt our God for the good he has done. By nature, we are ungrateful. Praise is a discipline that every believer got to work at developing. Not only must praise be cultivated, it must also be concise to be genuine praise. But we will save that for next time as we continue to look into Psalm 103 and the discipline of praise. But I'm thanking the Lord right now as I close and extend the Savior's invitation. I said I'm thanking the Lord. I'm not thanking Confucius, because he died and he's still dead. Can't do nothing for me. I'm not thanking Buddha, because he rotted from food poisoning and he's still dead. Can't do nothing for me. I'm not thanking Mohammed, because he died and is still dead. But Jesus, my Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he died. But early Sunday morning, he arose from the dead, proving to the world that he is the one and only true Savior, the only Lord, and the only begotten Son of God. And being, the Bible says in Philippians 2:8-11, he being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of our Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and even things under the earth got to bow down to Jesus, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I stopped on my way to heaven today to ask you, is Jesus your Savior today? Is he Lord of your life? If he's not, I tell you, he ought to be. Why not accept the Savior who did something for you that you couldn't even begin to do for yourself? Just say, speak, Lord, and your servant will hear. Command, and I will obey. He requires that you hear the gospel, Luke 11:28, that you believe the gospel, John 8:24, that you repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, that you confess him as Christ, Acts 8:36-38. And then he wants you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And then the Savior will save your soul and make you whole. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He will add you to his blood-bought church, spirit-filled church, hell-proof church, heaven-bound church. He will bless you not only in this world, but he'll bless you in the world to come if you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that right now as together we stand and give God glory and praise. Will you come? There's not anyone that can save you but Jesus Christ. No, not one.
There's not a friend.